Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you. Today we will learn about prayer again. And I'd like to look at the book of Luke, chapter 11, starting from verse 1. And we're going to look at verse 1 to 4 first. Actually, Luke chapter 11, 1 to 13, Jesus talked about prayer. Why don't we ask the Lord to help us? Father in heaven, we want to learn your word. We want to understand how to have a communion with you, have a intimate fellowship with you, Lord. And we know that we cannot know you without understanding about prayer. Father, we ask you to teach us tonight. Speak to all of us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask for the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that our eyes will see, our spirit will hear and understand what you want to say. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Now it came to pass as he was praying. Jesus was praying. You know, if Jesus was praying and he was God, he was so anointed, he had the fullness of the Spirit in him, but he still needed to pray to the Father. How much more we need to pray? Can you imagine? So the Bible said that Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he ceased or he stopped, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." This means John the Baptist, not John the disciple. John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, taught his disciple to pray. So Jesus said to them, to the disciple, "When you pray, say," you notice that he did not say "if you pray." It's not a condition. You need prayer. It's a normal part of Christian life. That's why he used the word "when you pray." "Say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So this is a model that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And you know, a lot of time we take what Jesus say literally to the point that we make it as a formula. Like we begin to say, we just close our eyes and pray like a formula. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin, for we also forgive others." You know, we just blabbling and we just talking, like try to memorize something. But actually, Jesus did not mean that we need to memorize something like this to talk like a formula. But he gave us the principle of how to pray. You need to pull the principle out, and we pray by the principle. Because in fact, when you really pray to God, you should pray by the leading of the Spirit of God anyway. Amen. You don't pray out of just your mind, but the Spirit of God inside you help you to pray. I come to the point of my life now, when I was a young believer, I pray by thinking what I need to talk to God. But to come to this point of my life, every single word I pray, the Holy Spirit leads me. He helps me. He is my helper. He helps me to say according to the will of the Father. So I hope that one day you will come to that point that you pray by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But let's look at what Jesus said about prayer here. Let's look at verse 2 again. Our Father in heaven. So the first thing you need to understand is that when you pray, you are not talking to a wall. You are not talking to a ceiling. You are not talking to a manager. You are not talking to a CEO or a boss. You are talking in relationship as a son and a daughter to your daddy, your papa, your what is in Japanese daddy? Oto-san. You are talking to Oto-san, your daddy. What is in Spanish? Do you have you know anything?
Papa.
You say papa. It's like Chinese. We call papa too. You are talking to Father in heaven. some people are so religious when they talk to God. Father in heaven. You're talking to a stranger. Is that right? Like, Father in heaven. You know, you're talking to a stranger. He's not a stranger. He's not just some guy, big guy with a long beard, with mustache, sit on the throne in heaven, and you just talk to him like, Father in heaven. No, you are talking to your daddy. Abba, Father. Actually, one time, the Bible say that Abba, Father. Abba mean daddy in the Greek language. So, you talk out of relationship. You know, my children, they know my button. They know my button. If they know how to push my button so that they can get what they want. You see? Like today, Paul want me to buy DVD of Godzilla. Godzilla DVD. And he know me that he can do something to the dad. I'm his daddy. I'm his papa. So he know that I like intimacy. He love intimacy. I love to hug. I love to touch, you know, my family. You know, I don't do much to stranger because I don't want to offend people. Especially Asian girl, I cannot go and touch them. I'm gonna be slapped on. So, so Paul come and sat on my back and hugged me like this. You saw that today? Is that right? He sit on my lap. You know, he's a big guy now. He's almost all my size now. He sat on my lap and he showed me in the computer, in the website from Amazon.com, the DVD. And he, Dad, I like that one. You know, I mean, my heart is melt. That my son sat on my lap and talked to me about DVD. Godzilla. He loved Godzilla. Now he used to like Choo Choo Train. He loved to watch like a cartoon. Now he loves Godzilla. I don't mind. Better than pornography, you know. So, but you know, he came to me as a relationship. Daddy. So when you pray, you need to come to God like, Daddy, Father, I am your son. I love you, and I know you love me. You don't come to God to meet a giant, a strange guy, a taskmaster who want to whip you and use you and break your neck and break your leg and try to just whip you with a whip and force you to go to church and want to kill you if you don't do anything good. No, he's not that God. He is a loving Father. I believe that if you come to God with the right mentality, right perspective, believe me, you will your prayer life will be totally different. And he's going to listen to you more. You know how to sit on his lap. You know how, when you ask him, you're going to get more answer. Please don't approach God as a stranger, as like a stranger manager. He is your dad. and recognize this. Everyone say at the same time, I am his child.
I am his child.
He is my daddy.
He is my papa.
He is my otosang.
He is my otosang.
Amen. So, you know, so the first thing, when you kneel down and pray, you before you even you open your mouth and say, Father in heaven, in your spiritual eye, you look at him like, oh my dad, I loved you. You see what I mean? Come to God that way. This is the important key of prayer. When I talk to God, I never talk to God like I was talking to a big boss or some strange guy sitting in the cosmic somewhere. I was talking to my daddy. And I have confidence he loved me so much. I have confidence that he listened to my prayer. Every prayer that I say, he listened to me. Like the same thing when Paul was talking to me, I listened to him. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, you need to understand that you need to come to God as your daddy. Then, what happened? The Bible says, hallowed be your name. You know, God says, Father in heaven. What does it mean in heaven? He is not the God, he is not the Father on earth. He is the Father of heaven. He is the owner of heaven and earth. He is the owner of the whole universe. He is the owner of the cattle on the thousand hill. He is the richest person in the whole world. Do you know that God is richer than Bill Gates? He's richer than Steve Ballmer. You know Steve Ballmer? He is the CEO of Microsoft. Okay? He is richer than Rockefeller. He's rich. He is the richest person. He is the God, the owner of heaven. So you need to come to God with the understanding that our God sits on the throne in heaven and he is in control. Nothing big deal. Every problem in your life, every circumstance in your life is a piece of cake. Amen. He's the God of heaven. He's not just a man 80 years old with bad back, back pain, knee pain, walking around with a cane and with a walker, and his hand is shaking like this, and with Alzheimer and cannot remember anyone's name. No! He is the God of heaven. He knows everything. He, and only that, you need to understand that in heaven, there is a big, what do you call? That you keep stuff, storage or warehouse. I'm sorry, I find the word. It's a very big warehouse up there. So God loved you so much, like a dad, that he want to give you good things of heaven. The things of heaven. What is the things of heaven? The things of heaven are not depression, sickness, disease, failure, weakness, broken relationship, broken family, bad kids. He wants to give you things of heaven. Things of heaven are good. Strength, anointing, wisdom, power, love, peace, joy, patience, long-suffering, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight. You see what I mean? So you need to understand that when you come to God, he has good things to give to you. Amen. So don't think only the word heaven in such a way that, oh, heaven is as with the street of gold, with the pearly gate, beautiful flower. No, heaven is more just a beautiful place. Heaven is a source of all the things that you need on earth. And God wants to give that to you when you ask him. Amen. Everyone say the word heaven. Mm-hmm. You don't get anything from hell. Get only thing from heaven. Mm-hmm. Amen. So our Father in heaven, and there are many good things in heaven he wants to offer to you. But the key is this: ask. You don't have because you don't ask. You need to ask. Amen. Now, hallowed be your name. yes, even though God is your daddy, but at the same time, you know, you need to respect him. Hallowed be my name means you honor him. You worship him. It's not worship in the sense of ritualistic thing. Like, oh, you have to stand one way and say some way. No, it's about the heart. The heart of honoring, the heart of worshiping, the heart of respecting and praising him. It's about the heart. Definitely, if your heart is right, your body language is going to show it. Your mouth going to show it. Your eye is going to show it. So when you approach God, he is not only your good daddy. You can sit on his lap. But you notice that today Paul did not come to me and slap on my head and say, "Dad, you must give this to me." No. He sit down and say, "Daddy, I like that. Could you please buy that for me?" You know, he still talk with respect. You know, there's nothing wrong about sitting on the lap of God and God tickle your side and you're tickling and you laugh. It's okay. You know, laughing with your father doesn't mean that you don't show respect. Therefore, I never mind that people laugh in the church. Actually, it's good because it means you have relationship with God. So, but religion try to turn that around that you need to sit in the church, have no feeling. And you respect God as if just a religion. Actually, you need to be balanced between respect and relationship. Yes, you respect him, but you can have relationship with him. It's a balance between a dad and a son. That relationship, you know what I'm talking about? It's not about religion, but it's about relationship. And that relationship is also involved joy, intimacy, hugging. You know, when God touch you on the floor, you feel the hug of God. You feel God hug you. You feel the warm feeling of God. You know, God hug you and then you respect him anyway by going down and just lie down there and respect him. You kneel down. It's a beautiful relationship when you pray, when you come to God. Amen. So when you come to God, don't do like this. Snap your fingers and say, "Hey, come here, bus boy. I need that. I need a girlfriend. Give me a girlfriend right now. Give me a boyfriend right now. I just turned 18. I need to get married now." Somebody say amen. Give me a boyfriend right now. Yeah. No, you don't snap your finger. Don't command God. But you ask God with respect. Amen. And God going to give you the best. Amen. Expect the best. Amen. God going to give you a godly man. Not only any guy. God going to give you a godly woman. I tell you. You know, today I have a conversation with my patients. She is 66 years old. She is single because her husband died. And she tried to go into internet to look for a man. And she said, "It's so sad." This is what she said. "It's so sad that all the 66-year-old men in America are looking for 30-year-old woman. They are not looking for older woman like me." You know, I told her like this. This is a really interesting conversation with my patient. I'm a neurosurgeon, but I'm talking about this with my patient. I say that, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, it's interesting because my wife always say like this to me. My wife always say, "You know, I hope that one of these days you will not look for a young girl." You know, it's a husband and wife talk. That she's getting older, I'm getting older, but usually men, when they got older, they have a chance to go after younger girl. And you know, I look at her face and I say like this, "Da, I love you the same. You're still beautiful no matter how old." You know why? Because her beauty is not about her skin or her, you know what I mean? It's the beauty is not about the young age, but the beauty of the heart. That you live with the person with a beautiful heart and you're happy. You can have a beautiful young girl but look like a witch who yell at you every day, who so selfish, you know, so hard, the heart is so hard and so selfish and so greedy and so grumbling, and you're living in hell, even though she may be young. So it's not about beauty of the face or the body, but it's about the heart. Amen.
Amen.
I was so proud of my wife last night. She said that, you know, her heart is so beautiful. She said that, you know, this year, I kept telling her, maybe you should buy another car. You know, don't drive this car. It's so hard. She said, no, I don't. I said, why? Because I want to send money to Thailand to help my brother and sister. We have limited budget. Instead of buying a nice car, I'd rather send money to help my brother and sister. What a beautiful heart. She is not thinking about herself. She's thinking about other people. You see what I mean now? That, why I come to this point? what I try to say is this. What I try to say is this, that, you know, that God gives you the best when you respect Him. Amen. I try to expand about praying to God for a boyfriend. So pray specifically that boyfriend need to be a godly man. Yeah, that's my point. Not just a handsome man. Amen. Okay, what is next? Your will be done. What is, so when we pray, we, as I mentioned a while ago about I decrease and you increase. I want to tell you right now, a lot of people think this way. If I follow God, I give my life to God, I will lose the control of my own life. It's not going to be fun anymore. It's not going to be fun anymore. I cannot do what I like anymore. Have you ever thought that people, have you ever seen people think that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel that you lose control. You give up something for God. Now only His will be done, not my own agenda, not my own desire. But I want to encourage all of you. It's scary to say, let your will be done. I will get out of the driving seat and let God drive my life. Let God hold the steering wheel and the gear and the brake. And I will sit as a passenger and let Him drive. Let your will, wherever destination you want me to go, I go with you. You drive my car. It's scary because we all want to control. We are trained in this society that we want to control everything. But I tell you, I want to encourage you. No one is a better driver than God. If you let God lead you, control your life, and you say every day, God, your will, not my will, you will have the best life. You will have the healthiest life, the most successful life, the best family. You're going to be happiest person, smiling all the time, because God give you the best, and God going to bring you to the best plan. Let go. Let Him control. Let His will be done. You don't know everything. If you try to control your own life, you're going to make mistake, believe me, because you don't know everything. God knows the future. God knows who you should be friend with, what church you should go, where you should study, what job you should get. Because if you try to run your own life, your will all the time, you may get into the wrong job and you get into trouble. Is that right? So, I want to encourage you, young people, let go. Let God run your life. Let His will be done, and don't worry about it. And you will see that it's wonderful. It's great. I speak this from my own experience, in fact. I used to run my life a lot, but I gave it up. I let God run my life now. And I tell you, I will, after this 15 years, I will never trade it to the old way anymore. I will let God run my life because it's the best. He will put me to be with the right people at the right time, the right channel, the right opening door for me, close the door for me, buy the right deal, things happen, pop, 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 pop like this. Because God, today I wake up, your will be done. And what is His will? His will is that my life on earth here will give glory to Him. So this is the key. If it's His will, everything that we do will give glory to Him. We'll expand His kingdom. We'll bring more people to God. You understand what I'm talking about? So, you know, when you say, God, you come first, your will come first, I'm going to give you glory, I'm going to build your kingdom, then He will meet your need. Do you remember the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 say? He said like this, seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. What does it mean first? It means not second, not third. I don't have a better way to explain. First, and all these things. What are all these things? All the things that you need in your life will be added unto you. Let His will come first. Amen.
Amen.
So, I hope that this teaching will really revolutionize your life. On earth as it is in heaven. You know why Jesus asked us to pray like that? He said, God, let your will be done on earth. Whatever heaven wants on earth, it should be the same thing in heaven. That's why I teach you a while ago that when you start to get sick, what is the will of God in heaven? Sickness? No. You can resist that. That is His will. Is that right? So you always pray according to what heaven wants you to have. Let heaven way be done in your life. Don't yield to the devil. Don't yield to the circumstances. Don't yield to the situation around you. You just only want what heaven be done in your life. And definitely sometimes what heaven wants you in your life may be suffering. Sometimes. But when I say suffering, I don't mean sickness. Okay? Every time the Bible talks about suffering, the Bible doesn't mean sickness and disease and broken relationship, husband and wife divorce. It doesn't mean. Suffering means suffering for God. Mean maybe some people persecute you, talk bad about you, people reject you, people deny you, you are put in jail for the name of Jesus. That's okay. That may be His will too. But that's okay. That is not the suffering that we talk about, that the devil throw to you. God may allow some difficulty to happen. Let His will be done. But that suffering and difficulty may bring you to the next level. May be a blessing to many people. You understand what I'm talking about? I give you example. November year 2003, I suffer a lot. I suffer so much because God told me to leave a denomination. And you need to understand that I was in that denomination for 15 years. It's not easy to break off. I have so many friends. If I broke off, it meant that I would lose all the friends. I will lose reputation. People will criticize me that I'm a betrayer. I'm a bad guy. He is crazy. But God command me. He said, leave this movement, this denomination, because I want my Holy Spirit to have freedom to move in my church so that the legalistic thing in the denomination cannot control the church anymore. When I did that, I have to tell you, I could not sleep for months. Many of you may not know that I suffer a lot. Months, pain, suffering inside my body, my spirit. But now I look back after 1.5 years. I thank God. Our church get better. Not really that. All of my wife family got saved in Thailand. All of my sister start to go to church now. All of the relative of our member in Seattle, in Thailand, all got saved. God knew that if I didn't leave, this would not happen. I obey God. It's suffering. Let His will in heaven be done. in your own eyes at that minute when you suffer, you didn't see the future. You say, why God, why God, why God, you complain. Why your will in heaven is suffering like this. But 1.5 years down the road, you say, thank God. Because I tell you at that time, I tell you the story. My wife, brother and sister never went to church for 15 years. They got saved through me. I witnessed to them. They accept Christ. We tried to send them to church and church and church. They never went. Until we broke out from the denomination. We started our own church there. They began to go and now they're on fire. They want to come to our camp here. What else you want? I need to save my own family first. Is that right? So you can see that God knows the future. So let His will be done. It's the best will. Let the will of the heaven be done. Amen. Okay, I should continue. Otherwise, I think I can teach only this part now. Only 4 verses. Give us day by day our daily bread. What it means here? It means that you can ask God what you need. Don't feel that you bother Him. You know, sometimes you think that God is a big God up there. He's a big kahuna. How many people understand this slang? You know this slang, Akiko? Kahuna. Okay, kahuna is the head of Hawaiian tribe. So, in Hawaii, when you want to call somebody boss, you call kahuna. So it's a slang in America that kahuna means a boss. So sometimes you don't want to bother your boss, is that right? You don't want to knock the door and go in and say, can I have that pen on your table? You feel like, oh, it's very rude to ask your boss for a little thing. But God tried to tell you that even though He's a big God, but you can ask little things in your life. Have you ever asked God for a parking spot? Mm-hmm. Have you ever asked God to help you to go through the traffic and go to work on time? Oh, I did sometime. The traffic looked so bad and I say, God, you need to do something here. I need to be there on time. And God did it. God just opened the door. I can get to the place on time. It sounds like little things. Is that right? So you can ask God anything that is not sinful. Don't feel that you bother God. You can ask for your need. Amen. Everyone say, I can ask God what I need. Even little things. God will not feel bothered by me. Amen. Okay. Now, forgive us our sins. So, when you go to God, one thing you remember, repent quickly. If God convicts you of some sin, don't hang on to it. Don't keep it. You ask God for forgiveness right away. Amen. Don't entertain sin. Don't keep sin in your life. Try to get right with God ASAP, as soon as possible. Amen. Because you know why we need to confess our sin ASAP, as soon as possible? Because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that our sin separates us from God. He cannot hear us. So that's why anytime God convicts us of sin or tell us that we did something wrong, we need to repent as soon as possible and ask God for forgiveness so that our relationship with God will be connected again. Will not be broken. Sin kind of like a wall between you and God. But when you confess your sin, that wall come down and your prayer will be powerful again. God can hear you. So that's why He say, forgive us our sins. I tell you, even though I'm a pastor, I have been a Christian for 25 years, I still confess my sin every day. I confess. I still make mistake every day. Actually, after I talked to my wife last night, I confess. I say, I think I'm too hard on her. I was too hard on her. I was too fleshly, too carnal on her. I was upset and I was lecturing her. So I repented. This morning I woke up and said, God, I'm sorry. I was not good last night. I'm gonna say sorry to my wife today. You see what I mean? You need to confess. You need to, and I tell you, I want to come back to the word humility again. I find one thing about Christian life is this. Humility, a humble heart, is the key to open the grace of God, the mercy of God. People don't confess because they are prideful. People cannot say sorry to another person whom he offended because of pride. You see what I mean? But if you humble all the time, you stay humble, you say sorry easily, you say to people, you go to people and say, could you please forgive me? I tell you, God will shower on you, pour on you the grace, the blessing. Amen? Stay humble all the days of your life. The Bible continues to say, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So, remember this. Before you can ask God to forgive, you need to forgive others. Amen. You want your prayer to get answered? This is one of the key. Always forgive people, no matter what they do to you. Amen. Because if you keep bitterness, who suffer? You or them?
You.
You suffer. And you don't get the answer from God. Because unforgiveness block God's grace in your life, block God's blessing in your life. You need to forgive. Doesn't matter what others do to you, just let go, forgive, and move on. Don't keep those bitterness and resentment, because you suffer and you die younger, you get sick, you get high blood pressure and problem. Just forgive, move on. Amen. If your ex-boyfriend break your heart, forgive him. Amen. Okay. So forgive those who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation. Another word. You need to hate sin. You don't want to play with sin. So you say, God, I hate sin like you hate sin. And please help me not to fall into temptation. Your ex-boyfriend break your heart, forgive him. Amen. Okay. So forgive those who is indebted to us. And you pray that, God, please, I know that I have weakness in my life. Could you please help me that you will not bring me, you will not allow, the temptation is too hard for me to handle, and I will fall or fail and make you grieve. You see what I mean? Believe me, every one of us sitting in this room has certain weaknesses. Some of us, the weakness may be money. Some of us, weakness may be relationship with opposite sex. You know, some people just have problem with this, cannot control themselves. They just keep changing girlfriend, boyfriend, keep changing, keep cheating woman, cheating people, because that is their weakness. I mean, everyone has weakness. I tell you my weakness. My weakness is offense. I get hurt easily when people offend me. But I'm thankful to God that I have been stronger and stronger in this area now, that I'm not easily offended anymore. But many years ago, money doesn't touch me. Woman doesn't touch me. I never have any even thinking about commit adultery or fornication. Never bother me. But one thing that if people hurt my feeling, is very difficult for me. But you know, I pray to God that, God, don't let that happen so often, because I don't want to get into sin. So I pray, God, help me in this area. Help me overcome, forgive people, love people no matter what. Don't bring me into that temptation. I don't want to fall. I don't want to hurt God's feeling. Amen. So we need to stay on guard all the time about sin. We need to stay on guard. Is this a temptation? Is this going to pull us down? Are we going to stumble? So we need to be very sensitive to such situation around us and ask God to show us. God, don't get me there. I'm going to back off. Show me that this is bad. If I step in there, I may be in trouble. You understand what I mean? That's why you notice one thing. I never get close to any woman in this church. Period. You never see me become close to any woman. No matter how good you are, I stay very distant from you. I may talk to you nice, you know, I care for you. I always say this sentence, if I talk to a woman, I will say, I am Pastor Da, loved you. I never say I myself. I just say, I am Pastor Da, care for you. You know what I mean? I don't want to get into that temptation. Because I'm a human. If I'm too close to some woman, I may start to commit spiritual adultery. In other words, I may start to fall in love and forget my wife. Period. I'm not going to get into that temptation. I never touch money in this church. I never even know how many people give, what people give. I never count money. I never touch money. Period. Because I don't want to get into temptation. I never give counseling to women one-on-one in a room. I will always sit in public. I don't want to get into temptation. Period. Amen. So that's what it means. That you say, God, help me. God, don't bring circumstance that I can fall into my life, because I want to keep holiness in my life. Okay. Deliver us from evil, the evil one. Who is the evil one? Satan. Believe me, Satan gonna get on your case all the time. He is not gonna let you go. Especially, for example, Victor, if you begin to take serious about God, go to church. In the past, he doesn't bother you that much. He didn't bother you. Because you are not a threatening to him. But once you take serious, going to church, go to care group like this, you start to take serious about God, he's going to start to bug you. He's going to start to threaten you. He's going to start to pull you away. He will do everything to stop you from going to church and going to care group. Stopping you, he will discourage you. He will throw all the arrows and darts and everything to you so that you will quit. So that's why it's so important to pray, God, deliver me from the evil one. Give me victory. I depend on your power. Amen. Do you notice, sister? I don't want to mention your name because I don't want people who listen to this CD who I'm talking about. Sister. But Victor is okay because there are many Victor in the church. You know, there is only one name here. Do you notice that, sister? Since you joined the worship team, the devil attacked you more. He tried to get at you because he wants to stop you. Do you notice that since you become a care group leader, you know, he tried to attack you more? Why? Because he doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be polarized. He wants you to be ineffective. He wants to stop you. So that's why, wake up in the morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. Could you please, today, give me power, strength, victory over every temptation, and the devil cannot touch me. In Jesus' mighty name. You give your life to God, you put in the book of Job, the book of Job talks about the shield of protection. We call the hedge. You understand the word hedge mean? Hedge means the wall, you build around like a fence, it's a fence. You build a fence around so that the wolf cannot come into your garden. So Job pray every morning that he said, I put the hedge of protection of God over my kids, over my wife. So that's why I pray every morning, God put the hedge of protection over my members, that they will not fall. In Jesus' mighty name, I plead the blood of Jesus as a hedge of protection over people. Amen. So, this is what Jesus teaches to pray. I think I need to stop here. I cannot finish the lesson again. I talk too much. Okay. So, but I believe that this teaching will help you. In conclusion, God is our Father. You approach Him as His kids. He is in heaven. He has all the things in heaven to provide, to give you, but you need to ask. He is still sitting on the throne. He's a powerful God. He owns everything. He's the richest God. And you need to come to Him, not only with relationship as a son and daughter toward Father, but also come to Him with respect and honor. Honor your God. Not only that, you make a decision every single day that only His will, not your will. His agenda, not your agenda. Amen. And then you can ask anything, even little things from God. Don't feel that you bother Him. He loves it. You know why He loves it, that you ask Him even little things? I tell you the truth why. He loves that because, number one, He loves relationship. Think about it. He'd rather have you talk to Him more than just ignore Him. Number one. Number two, the more you ask Him, the more you practice humility. Because pride will say to you like this, oh, I don't need to ask God, I can handle this myself. A piece of cake. Ooh, pride. But when you deep, you know what the humility mean? Humility doesn't mean spineless. You know, spineless mean weak. Humility mean depending on God all the time. Is that right? Thirdly, why He wants you to pray even little thing like a parking spot? Why? Because He wants to build your faith. Because when you ask for parking spot and you get it, ooh, this is not an accident. God, make it happen for me. Your faith rise up. And God say, you cannot please Him without faith. Is that right? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. So how you build your faith? The more you pray, the more you see answer, the more faith you have that God is real and God answer your prayer. You will have more experience. So your relationship with God get deeper, get stronger every time. So pray more, ask more, please. Don't worry that you bother Him. Amen. And ask God for forgiveness, forgive others, and always ask God to protect you from temptation. Amen. I hope you learned something tonight. And I believe that it will be helpful. Make sure you listen to this CD again and again. Because I know you're going to forget some. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your word. We know, we learn from Your Spirit, Lord. Father, help us to be people who are so close to You, Your children. From now on, I pray, Father, that Your people in this church will see the answer from heaven. They will experience the love and the power of God in their own life. They will be strong in their faith. They will have such an intimate relationship with You, Lord. Father, bless Your people. Lord, teach them daily in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.